If you work for NASA, the FDIC, or the Surface Transportation Board, you might whistle while you work. Those are the best big, mid-sized, and small agencies to work for. The Nonprofit Partnership for Public Service has released its 2012 rankings based on the government-wide employee viewpoint survey. Max Steyer is president of the partnership. He joins us now with a look at the results. Max, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
All right. Great to have you on. Now, every year there are winners and losers and agencies that do well and not so well. But this year there's kind of an added element of maybe a little bit of gloom over the survey. Tell us what you found.
Well, and perhaps not surprising for many, what we see across government is a decline, the biggest decline we've seen since we've been doing the rankings in employee satisfaction and commitment with their jobs. Not surprising in that we've had lots of pressure put on the federal workforce, pay freezes, obviously during the political season, many attacks on government and on the workforce, and equally important, increased demands on the kinds of work and the amount of work that federal employees have to do. All that said, these numbers are distressing, and I hope they're a wake-up call for policymakers to stop the process of taking stuff out of the federal workforce and start the process of getting better government by investing in the federal workforce.
We've got a link to your full survey, to the full report on federalnewsradio.com, and you're releasing it today, but I know you've already given agencies a heads up. How are they reacting to that overall gloomy scenario? Are they caught off guard?
Well, you know, one of the more impressive things is, despite all of the challenges that I described, a third of the agencies actually saw increases, improvements in the satisfaction and commitment of their employee workforces. So what you really see is, in agencies where you have great leadership, leadership that is focused on trying to improve the performance of their organizations by improving the performance of their workforce, engaging their workforce, you saw increases in those agencies. And so the response we've had has been very much, I think, positive, in that the agencies that are doing better are gotten the kudos that they deserve and need to increase and continue the kinds of investments they're making. And I think the response from agencies that are doing poorly have largely been sort of a wake-up call, recognition that they need to do different things and invest more in their workforce. So, you know, by and large, I think the response we've had has been the right response, recognition that these numbers are really important. You have 700,000 federal employees that have responded to the survey. And this is, again, not about happy employees. This is about better government.
And when you look at some of the ones that did not do so well, like Homeland Security is at the bottom of the list of large agencies, Broadcasting Board of Governors and National Archives at the bottom of the list of the mid-sized agencies, is there any theme or any particular reason that characterizes those agencies that do not so well?
Look, the biggest driver of employee commitment and satisfaction is their sense of their leadership, and that starts with their first-line supervisors but goes all the way to the top. It's a question of whether the employees feel they're empowered to do their jobs, whether they see line of sight between their work and the mission's organization. And these are basic management principles, and what we need to see is more attention and focus on creating environments for federal employees where they can do the great jobs that they want to. Federal employees are highly committed to their work. They care about pursuing the goals of the American public, and they need to be treated in a way that enables them to do their job better. And leaders and agencies across the government, some are doing their jobs well, some need to improve the way they do their job. And frankly, the policymakers in Congress and elsewhere really need to understand that if we're going to have government that does more for less, we actually need to invest more in the federal workforce.
We're speaking with Max Steyer. He's president and CEO of the Partnership for Public Service, and it's just released its latest rankings on the best places to work in the federal government. There's a lot of data in your report. How, now that agencies begin the work of looking at their results and understanding them, preparing for the next year, how do they take this information?
Well, they should take this information seriously to begin with. What these rankings do, and again, it's not just an overall engagement ranking. There's 10 work environment categories. It really gives a roadmap to leaders and managers and federal agencies to understand where they need to look to improve their agency. And it could be, again, on the first frontline supervisor. It could be their senior leadership group. By and large, there's always work that needs to be done at communicating better two-way with the federal workforce. But But this will give them a roadmap about how they can focus their attention on the issues that are going to be most meaningful to their workforce, and it's going to give them an accountability metric. They should be holding, the top leadership should be holding the career and non-career SESers responsible. They should be building that into their performance plans, and they should be, you know, holding themselves accountable for what their own workforce says about the way they're managing their agencies.
And one thing I noticed, there seems to be an issue, depending on the size of the agency, there seems to be a problem with bigness, because NASA was the highest-ranking agency of the large agencies with a 72% kind of, yeah, we like it here rating. But then when you look at the FDIC, which was the top of the mid-sized agencies, it was 83. And the Surface Transportation Board was top of the small agencies at 84. So there seems to be more intensity at the smaller agencies than at the larger ones. Can you comment on why that might be the case?
Yes, and I think part of the challenge is when you look at the large agencies, they really are conglomerates. And so you get agencies, for example, the Patent or the Department of Commerce, where the Patent and Trademark Office is one of the top five subcomponents in government. Well, Department of Commerce actually has in their ID office one of the bottom-ranked agencies or subcomponents in government. So when you look at the large agencies, you're seeing an average across all their different pieces, and frankly, it makes more sense, or it will give you better insight if you break it down into the subcomponent pieces. So the very large agencies that are a collection of different pieces are by and large not going to get to the top of the pack, because they have to average some components that are doing well and some that may not be doing so well. It is true that to take an agency that's not doing well and make it do better, you can see faster action with smaller agencies. But the truth of the matter is that, you know, good leadership, good management can make a difference in a big agency, in a small agency, in an agency that deals with space, or an agency that deals with trains, or whatever else you may think of it. Good leadership can work anywhere.
Because it's interesting, the Army was in the lower half of the large agencies, like number 14, but the highest ranked subcomponent was the U.S. Army Audit Agency.
Exactly.
And 85% rating, that's the best loved of any of them.
Exactly. And that's what's interesting here, is that at the end of the day, every agency can be NASA. It really actually doesn't matter what they're doing, because every agency is focused on a public good. There's a mission that can appeal to their workforce in a very attractive way, if they have the right leadership.
Max, can you talk a little bit about those agencies that made really big strides over the past year? And in your report, you say that they proved that even in the most challenging climate, it is possible to improve employee engagement. Do you know what some of the things they did were?
Yes. And again, there's no magic and maybe a bad metaphor here, no rocket science. The agencies that improved the most are the agencies where, first and foremost, the leadership cared, and they prioritized creating an environment that would engage their employees. They did this by holding their subordinates accountable for focusing on these issues, by making it a priority, by communicating with their employees, by empowering those employees so they actually had the authority to do their jobs effectively, and by ensuring that they had the right tools and resources, investing in their training and their development. Those are the most basic things that were done, and that had the greatest difference in the agencies that did better.
And just looking quickly across some of the figures and looking at it by the breakdown of women versus men, it seems like there's a little bit higher rankings across the board of men versus women in the federal government. Did you notice that, and what's going on there?
Yes, and again, when you look at the broad government-wide averages, they tell you something, but it helps a lot to peel the onion back and look at the individual subcomponents. So, you know, a good example of this is, as you just suggested, on gender. The NRC, Nuclear Regulatory Commission, has very, very high score, you know, top five agency. Men score 3.8 points better there, so much higher than the government-wide average. Or one of my favorites is the under 40, over 40. The Department of Transportation, their under 40 employees scored was 8.7 points higher than employees over 40. And I actually think that's a net positive at the Department of Transportation, because I think what you want to see in agencies is a real sustained effort to engage newer employees, because that's the future. Those are the people that are going to, you know, be in the positions of authority and responsibility as time goes forward. And the nature of the labor force is changing. So if you can't appeal to the newer entrants to the workforce, you're in big trouble.
Max, you've been doing this survey for 9 years now, since 2003, but this is, and it's based on the Office of Personnel Management's government-wide employee viewpoint survey. For the first time, OPM asked all federal employees to participate in that survey and got a huge number of responses. I'm just wondering, did that make a difference at all?
Yes. First of all, OPM deserves great kudos for doing the terrific work in their employee viewpoint survey. And the census meaning, as you just said, that all employees are asked rather than taking a sample of federal employees, enables us to see much deeper into the federal government. So when you have a 700,000 person survey sample, survey, that means that we can start breaking government down into smaller pieces and comparing across the board. So you can look, for example, at IG offices across across government, or you can look into smaller work units inside individual agencies and see what's happening. At the end of the day, you can't manage what you don't measure. In the federal government, what we're trying to achieve are public goods. They are not financial metrics that enable you to know whether you're succeeding. So it's hard to measure performance. But what employees say about their organizations is a very powerful proxy for understanding performance. And that's why this stuff is so important. The deeper data set enables us to have a much better understanding of what's working and what's not in the federal environment.
Max Steyer is president and CEO of the Partnership for Public Service, and thanks so much for joining us.
Terrific. It's great to be here. I should also add that Deloitte was a wonderful partner in doing this project.
And we've got a link to the survey by the partnership and Deloitte at federalnewsradio.com. That's where we're also going to post this interview. And we know Max is going to be back on the afternoon show, Francis Rose on In Depth here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.